Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم Allah the mighty has spoken the truth. This is Ayah 21 of Surah 33, and an expression of it is, you have indeed in the Apostle of Allah a beautiful pattern of conduct for anyone whose hope is in Allah and the last day, the final day, and who engages much in the remembrance of Allah. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. A report that's been the foundation of this series of talk, in the most recent portion of the series, is from Hadrat Ibn Umar, radiallahu an. He narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, moderation in expenditure is half of economy, friendship with good people is half of wisdom, and intelligent questioning is half of knowledge. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, this is the 11th segment of this subject, taqwa and the game of life. And we say for this and for all of the other matter tied to it, there's a university of knowledge in just that hadith, just that hadith. It's true for all of those things that Allah reveals in the Quran. Everything that Allah reveals has a universal nature. It has a universal nature. It is infinite by our description, a universal nature. And that's something that carries on to all of it. I keep wanting to, come on, say it again. No, it's just simply true. So I'll go on, inshallah, with Allah's help. Not that I know all that is in there, no way. But let's talk about some of that university that's in it. In fact, mashallah, alhamdulillah, and this is no boast. Just in a moment before I stood up, something from one of the reports of the Prophet became clear to me. I mean, clear to the point where, oh, okay, now I can put that over there on that side of the equation. And where the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and says, Satan circulates in you like the circulation of blood. I'm sure somebody has heard that hadith, read that hadith. He circulates you in you like the circulation of blood, right? Go look for it and look for it in, there's a hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he was in i'tikaf. This is an isolation that he would take in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And, well, I guess I got to give you some context. So he was coming out at night with a woman, and there were some Muslims who had saw him coming out at night with a woman from i'tikaf, right? And so they did this. The Prophet said, oh, no. This is my wife, Safiya. Oh, Muhammad. You know, we would never, you already showed that you're thinking like that. We're going to cover his faults. We're going to, so, well, hey, you didn't see nothing. You see something? I didn't see nothing. The Prophet said, no, I don't need that. He said, we wouldn't think such things about you. He said, no, it's not you. I don't want Satan to get started in you. Because he circulates in you like the circulation of blood. All right? Now, if you can't see that in the abstract, you'd be led to thinking like sinful flesh or all that kind of thinking, or that the devil is some kind of spook, specter, or something that gets in you and then runs you from the inside. No. I'm saying this is my understanding. Allah knows best, okay? Do you know that for every emotion that you have, there's a chemical corollary to that emotion? Joy, you can find a chemical basis for joy. Happiness, chemical basis for joy. Fear, chemical basis for fear. Anxiety, chemical basis for anxiety. That's why they try to fix so many things with drugs. They say, oh, okay, they have a deficiency of this, therefore they're depressed, so why don't we up their, body's capacity for releasing this neurochemical so that their spirits will go up or what have you, right? Well, how is it that you can fix it with chemicals? It's because it's chemicals that started it. And plus, they don't fix it. I mean, you know, the commercial for the thing that they're selling, the words about it are about this big. I'm just giving you proportion. It's about this. And then what it's going to do to hurt you, what might happen to you, it might work, might not work, but it ain't on us. But if it's that bad, you need to go ahead and try this. So this is the difference between the disclaimers and what they say is going to do. But you'll sleep better. Wait. Sometimes we get too humorous without respect for the fact that there are people who have real conditions that relate to that. So I'm not making light of that, so I'm stopping. See, that's the shaitan too. You got to watch him. He'll get you, boy. What are you doing? It's a serious condition for people. So the academic point, the scientific point, I believe should be clear to you. The point is that jealousy has a chemical. Envy has a chemical. Revenge has a chemical. Hatred has a chemical. And once you get into that mode, oh, the LeBron James, whoever that guy was, y'all know him. You can remember what he did. The shaitan took control. He said, you are no longer in control. You know, it's like there's no stopping the circulation of blood. That chemical had become, in fact, they call it in psychology, in psychiatry, and how can you say, neuroscience, they call it being flooded. Being flooded. Once you get flooded, it's like there's hardly anything that can control you. Okay? So that's the Satan that circulates in you like the circulation of blood. So think about those attributes that are unbecoming to us as believers, right? Suspicion. There's a connection. With that, there's this chemical, and that is the shaitan that's circulating you like the circulation of blood. So what do we do? A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Because what generates that flow in us is thoughts. Thoughts. When you think in a certain way, it produces chemicals in your bloodstream. When you think in a certain way, it produces chemicals in your bloodstream. So when you think satanic thoughts, then shaitan is circulating in your bloodstream. But when you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the best chemicals are circulating in your bloodstream. And Allah knows best. So that's one hadith. The hadith that we're speaking of, we've already addressed moderation and expenditures, half economy in a khutbah in the past. Right now we're going to spend a little time with friendship with good people is half of wisdom. Friendship with good people is half of wisdom. If you have some good people that are your friends, you don't know how blessed you are if you're not conscious of it. Oh, well, we've just been friends for just a long time, blah, 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 blah. Do you really know why you're good friends? And more important, so you can have good friends that are bad people, hello? You have good friends that are bad people. But if you have good friends that are good people, now that's the one. That's the winner right there, right? So when it says friendship with good people is half of wisdom, it not only means your friends who are good people are a source of wisdom. It also means that if you want to be wise, then choose good people to be your friends. And you're already halfway there. You can, you know, Google does a whole lot, right? Just Google, you know, the impact of friends and relations. Just put that in there. The impact of friends and relations. And maybe you can do just like you have images, right? You go with images. Because then it gives you that kind of, some of you may know about Pinterest and different things like that, where it just gives you a plaque with a saying on it related to what you asked. Right? And so one of them is something in this order. I didn't try to memorize it, but the idea of the five most important people in your life are the ones that are influencing your life the most. So if you make that list of who are the most important people in your life, it's suggesting that these are the key influences to who you are, right? The people who you consider to be your best friends, they are a reflection of you. Right? Even when we say, I like so-and-so. What do you mean, I like so-and-so? You like so-and-so because he's like you. She's like you. And if you want to know your child, just get to meet their best friends. You meet their best friend, oh, okay. Oh, but I'm not like that. You got to fill in the blank. I'm not trying to fill in nobody's blanks. You got to fill in the blank yourself. So it's not only not only that your friends or good people are the source of wisdom, but if you want to be wise, then choose good people to be your friends, and you'll already be halfway there to wisdom, that is. The companions were good people and friends of each other, and through that friendship, they learned and shared wisdom. Here's a report. It's narrated by Hanzala al-Usaydi radiallahu anhu. He said, Abu Bakr, one of his friends, radiallahu anhu, he met me and said, how are you? You know, when we say kayf al-hal, we're actually saying, what is your condition? What is your condition? Right? But the imam used to check us on that, because many of us, our imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayh, many of us, that's the end of our Arabic conversation right there. Just like I see a Hispanic, what is this? And I say, ¿Cómo estás? Muy bien, ¿y tú? And if he say anything else, I'm done. We're back to English. And that's the way most of us are with Arabic. And the imam is checking the ones who are playing, like trying to convince the other people around them that they might know some Arabic. Yeah, hey, كيف الحال? You know, he'll be talking like you know. But if you go one more sentence, then it's done, right? But, you know, you done played the front off already by saying كيف الحال. So the imam is really checking us on that Bilalian type behavior. You know how we do. So he said, كيف الحال? You're asking كيف الحال? He said, are you a doctor? So it's like, you asking me what's my condition? It's like, yeah, I have a peptic ulcer. So can you do something about that? You don't know. So don't front, right? That's the only point that I'm making there, remembering my teacher. And he said, but it was their language, right? So when he asked him, how are you? Hanzala. And then Hanzala, he said, Hanzala was the reporter. He said, Hanzala has become a hypocrite. Speaking of himself in the third person, right? Hanzala has become a hypocrite. He, that is Abu Bakr, said, Subhanallah, what are you saying? Hanzala said, when we are with the messenger of Allah, he reminds us of the fire and the garden until it is as if we are seeing them with our own two eyes. But when we depart from the messenger of Allah, we attend to our wives and our children and our businesses, and we forget a great deal. Abu Bakr said, Ya Allah, we experienced something similar. Abu Bakr and I, he and Hanzala, they went to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, Hanzala has become a hypocrite messenger of Allah. And the messenger of Allah said, why is that? Hanzala said, O messenger of Allah, when we're with you, you remind us of the fire and the garden until it is as if we are seeing them with our own two eyes. But when we leave you, we attend to our wives and children and businesses, and we forget a great deal. The messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, by the one in whose hands is my soul, if you continued as you are when you're with me, and continued to remember the Jannah and the Jahannam, the angels would shake your hands in your homes and on the streets. But, oh Hanzala, there's a time for this and there's a time for that. And he repeated that, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he repeated that three times. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much instruction in this. But the idea is that in the context of friendship and half of wisdom, of course you have Abu Bakr, he's your friend. Hanzala, he's your friend. And so a friend meets with the other friend, asks him, how are you? And the friend is being troubled by something as a believer. They're being troubled by something as a believer. And as such, then the friend has to give some advice that would help. But when he said that to Abu Bakr said, you know what, I go through the same thing. Maybe I'm a hypocrite. We better go check. So they go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet, who knows better about both of them, he says, "No way, right?" So he says, "So tell me how you think that's the case." And you just heard the reading. So the idea is that your friend will take you, if they don't know, they'll take you where you need to go in order to get the answer to whatever the concern is for you. That's what good friends do for each other. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is their best friend, alhamdulillah. And the Prophet guided them to the best and showed them the best. This is also speaking to us about wrong ideas extremes, I should say, which is wrong ideas, about what does it mean to be a righteous person. What does it mean to be a righteous person? Sometimes we have the wrong ideas about, since this has come up again, I'll mention it. Do you know that 95 to 97% of all babies born, they are in perfectly good shape? That is, everybody comes, the hadith of the Prophet speaks of al-fitr, we're born on that order without any deformations or any kind of problems. But something happens many times in life to human beings that causes that order to be broken, causes there to be a problem for the human being in some cases. And the sources are three. I'm saying this because it's easy to remember. Source of three, I already mentioned one. They get distorted by thought, toxins, or trauma. So it's three T's. So you're in good shape when you're born. But if some trauma happens, distortion. Toxin, distortion. Thinking can bring distortion. Okay? So in terms of the religion, quote unquote, our way of life, al-Islam, you can come to al-Islam correctly, sincerely, but if you get the wrong thoughts, it will distort your deen. It will distort your way of life. And those wrong thoughts can be the wrong thought, like the one in the i'tikaf example that I gave. They were thinking wrong about the Prophet. And as the Prophet said, I'm not going to let those thoughts take root in you. If the Prophet didn't stop them, then they would have went away, and then the rhythm of that thought would have continued to evolve and continue to, become monstrous, for lack of a better term. So, in terms of thoughts, so if you think, and there were occasions where in the early part of al-Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was making wudu, there were a group of people who came behind him, and they took the water that he was making wudu from, and they started spreading it all over themselves. And the Prophet asked him again, what are you doing? He said, we are bringing ourselves closer to Allah by taking the water from your wudu to put this on. I said, no. If you want to be closer to Allah, obey his messenger, and behave well towards people. So he don't take all that. It's like, what are you thinking? See, so our thinking has to be correct about the way we practice this way of life, or we will check ourselves out of the religion, not even knowing that we checked ourselves out, thinking that we are thinking right. And that's Satan's skill set, right? I'll make you think wrong is right, even in the religion. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ صِرَاطِكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He said, I'm going to lay in wait for them on your straight path. Satan. He said, I'll be right there watching. Oh, here's one to think that the voodoo is this. Okay. Now he got you over there getting the snot water from the prophets. Voodoo, I just got to make it a little clearer. You might think that. Well, it was just water. No. Either way, it's another story. So the idea is that each one of them was protected by the other, recognizing that we need to get clarification on that, and that's what good friends do for each other. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu, he said, one day Omar, again, and they're friends, right? Huzaifa, Omar, they're friends. So here Omar comes to Huzaifa, kayf al-hal? And this is what Huzaifa said. I rose in the morning hating the truth, liking mischief, bearing witness to the thing unseen, learning by heart the uncreated, reciting salutations without being in wudu, and knowing that what is for me on the earth is not for Allah in the sky. Omar was infuriated. And he intended to punish Huzaifa. Then Ali came in. I really want you to hold on to this theme that's kind of stepping out here. I didn't come with it, but it's like two friends connected with each other, one friend checking in on the other friend, and then the other friend coming back to the other friend in a way that says, I don't know about that. But then the two friends get help from another friend to tell them what it really is and what it's not. This is what happens in both these instances. So Ali came in and he noticed the signs of rage. Remember those chemicals. Those signs of rage on Omar's face, and asked why he was so angry. Omar told him what was said, and Ali said, there's nothing serious about his remarks. What Huzaifa said is correct. Truth means death, and he detests it. Mischief means wealth and children, and he likes it. And when he says he bears witness to what has not been seen, it means he testifies to the oneness of Allah, death, the day of judgment, the Jannah, the hell, the bridge over the hell named Sirah, and none of which has he seen. When he says that he learns by heart what is uncreated, this refers to the Holy Quran. And when he says that he recites the salutations without ablution, this refers to saying the salutations on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is permissible without ablution. When he says he has for himself on earth that which is not for Allah in the sky, this refers to his wife, but Allah has no wife or children. So Huzaifa, deep student of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to emphasize, learn the biographies of the Prophet. That is, be in the habit of learning about the companions of the Prophet. I've mentioned Hanzala. Who is Hanzala? Most of us, mashallah, alhamdulillah, we've heard of Ali, you know, we've heard of Abu Bakr, we've heard of Omar, we've heard of them, but many of the other companions we haven't heard from, and they have really, really profound stories themselves. So a part of our habit in gaining more knowledge about the deen in practice is to study the lives of the companions of the prophets as well, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, rahimahullah alayhim. Allah have mercy on all of them. So this is to say that all of these companions, they were knowledgeable. They were knowledgeable. They studied the Quran. That is what the Prophet had given them. And they studied the life model of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And they sought to practice al-Islam as a way of life. This is what I do. Listen, when someone says they're vegan or vegan, either way, vegan. For me, I'm saying either way. No disrespect. It's like maybe a vegan will tell me what his right way to say it. MashaAllah, inshallah, it's good. Allah created it all. Listen, when someone said I'm vegan, then there's a whole category of attributes and boxes that have to be checked in order to say, in order to validate the fact that label. You take that label, okay, here are the boxes. Check, check, check. Oh, no, you didn't check this box right here. So you may be a vegetarian, but you're not a vegan. Okay? All right. Okay, so what about when you say you're a Muslim? I'm a Muslim. So you know how far you got to go before you can really say I'm a believer. You got a couple of steps to go, just like in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hujurat, where the desert Arabs say, we are believers. Hold up. Allah tells the Prophet, tell them, don't say that. Just say you have submitted. That is, your application is in. Right? So Muslim is an application to be a believer. So if Allah has accepted your application, if he's accepted your taslim, if he's accepted your submission, isn't that what we say? I've submitted my application. Well, that means you're Muslim. But you don't have a job yet, right? The job is to be a believer. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O you who believe. See, Allah only orders, read the Quran, mashallah, Allahu alam. Read the Quran, and Allah only gives direct orders to believers. And the believers are those who say, "Sami'na wa ata'na." No question, no doubt, no. Can we discuss? No. Or you go back, get in the Muslim line. So they were all knowledgeable. So that's why each one is able to help the other one with what they might not know. This is the practice that comes with believing and acting upon وَتَوَصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. This is one of the first ayahs. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah has given us that short surah. But power packed for life. Wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Wa tawassaw bil haqq. Wa tawassaw bis sabr. Man. You see, you remember what I said? There's a university of knowledge in everything that we have. There's a universe. Your life can be lived. And some people's lives are actually, non-Muslims, are lived on the truth of that, even though that's not their source, but they live on the truth of that naturally by the grace of God through their disposition. And if you respect what's being said in each one of those lines, your life will be good. I won't go into it. That's a wonderful place of study. Go study it. Study it. And again, sources. Because, you know, all of us can't start from zero. Can't start from scratch. We need to get something that's kind of been mixed a little bit, you know. So I trust considerably. I don't base, you know who I base most my understanding on and from, by the grace of Allah. But I say it again. Tahfim al-Quran. Abu Ala Mawdudi, who Imam Muhammad introduced us to, and I believe his son is a regular presenter at Masjid Malcolm Shabazz annual Sirah of the Prophet conference. Has been going on for decades. In any case, Imam Muhammad is a wonderful story about Imam meeting Mawdudi himself on Arafah, and Mawdudi being the one that I'm speaking to you about, Mawdudi telling the people on Arafah. Arafah is the deal, okay, that Imam W.D. Muhammad is the leader for Islam. This is way before he wasn't even in. When Imam made Hajj, he was out of the Nation of Islam. His father had excommunicated him. But when he was there on Hajj, Maldudi pointed out that he's the one that will be the leader for al-Islam in America. And if I'm remembering what the imam pointed out directly, well, I'll search it out, but they're basically telling the others, don't bother him. Basically, like, don't get in his way. Okay? And Tahfim al-Quran, what it does, yes, there's going to be translation. Of course, you have the Arabic there, but he footnotes practically everything. So anything that has a possible footnote or requires a little more explanation, you can get that from there. And I'm saying that to get the richness and the background, you need all of that knowledge. So when Allah has blessed us with someone who has given that kind of research for us, being in the habit of referring to that source, it's like dipping in a well. You know, you can get fresh, pure water from there. Alhamdulillah. But then recognize that you have a responsibility yourself to study and know for yourself. Don't take it as a crutch. Don't take it as a crutch, but take it as a way of deepening your own understanding while you seek to get your own understanding. But as we all do, and all the people before us, they have benefited from the knowledge of those who are knowledgeable before them. And in fact, this is the hadith that we'll conclude this portion of the khutbah with. Good people value good knowledge, and good knowledge is a good friend. Good people, if you're dealing with somebody that don't value good knowledge, like, why are y'all together? Why y'all hang out? You need to look into that. They have no appreciation for good knowledge. All right? But in any case, so good people value good knowledge, and good knowledge is a good friend. Here's another of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muaz ibn Jabal. Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he was the first one to be sent out by the Prophet to be a governor of Yemen. Rich story. Read his history. Read his story. And so much to be taught about how to understand the religion from Muaz ibn Jabal. Very important. In this particular report, and this is less than half of the whole report, Muaz ibn Jabal said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, knowledge is a reference guide to the allowed and the disallowed, a light on the path for the people of paradise. This is all about knowledge. A light on the path for the people of paradise. It is the companion during loneliness. It's really something. Where knowledge is your friend when you're lonely? Knowledge is a companion during loneliness and the friend during estrangement. The converser during seclusion. See, this is one. Let's finish it. The guide in times of ease and times of difficulty. A weapon to use against the enemies, and the quality that is valued by friends. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My momentary hesitation there was, you can see the personification of knowledge. Meaning knowledge as a person. As a person, it's like, hey, knowledge, how you doing? I'm good, man. What's going on? What do you want to know today? Who am I talking to? Knowledge. Knowledge, how you doing? Hey, you met my friend? There's knowledge right here. He's good. Whatever you need to get with, he the one. That's what the idea. I got to put it in the hood so y'all don't miss it. Okay? It's like that. Got to be your friend. So when you talk about your best friend, MashaAllah, make sure that knowledge is on that list. Good knowledge is on that list. I got to make a quick distinction. Good knowledge, bad knowledge. I had this thought, but it helps because this is inside the circle of our experience, right? You know, bad knowledge is how to make crack rocks. Trust this. There's more than one person in here that I know. Right? Wallahi, and you'd be surprised who the other one that I know, okay? I'm going to leave it right there. It's like, yeah, I know how to make crack rock. I'm talking for that person, right? Okay? It's like, but that's bad knowledge. It's knowledge, but it's bad knowledge. And he said, I know how to sell it too. That's bad knowledge. I know how to be in the game. That's bad knowledge. You don't want that knowledge for your good friend. That's a friend that'll get you killed. And you won't be a martyr. You just be dead. Another one bites the dust. Good knowledge, good friends. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر بسم الله الحمد لله What is Al-Islam? Al-Islam is the Quran, the Prophet, and human nature. It's very important. Al-Islam is the Quran, it's the Prophet, and human nature. Al-Islam is like a flower growing from the earth. It's like a flower growing from the earth. It is the way of life which is embedded and expressed by the original human nature. I say a flower growing from the earth. You are the earth. I am the earth. Our human nature is the earth. Al-Islam is embedded in us. And it is expressed from us. What Al-Islam, what Allah did by revealing the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his living it out in front of us, those two combined gave us Al-Islam. We didn't have Al-Islam before we had the Quran and before we had Muhammad, the Prophet. We didn't have Al-Islam. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinukum. Allah said, This day have I perfected. It wasn't perfect until the final revelation to Muhammad ibn Abdullah of the Quran, and he had lived it for those number of years, and Madinatul Munawwara, the city of light, had been established. Now you have Al-Islam. Allah said, okay, it's done. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinukum. Prophet passed away, and we're left with what Allah has completed through him. And so this thing that we have called Al-Islam is a product of the bringing out of what Allah had put in our nature, and now Allah has brought it out over history and time, and through the blessing of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the carriage and the exemplar and the explainer of the Quran and Al-Islam, now we have in our presence, and has been here for 1450 years almost, we have this favor of Allah, right? Now, here's another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's from also from Hudhayfa. He said, peace be upon him, Allah's messenger told us that integrity was put into the inmost nature and hearts of people. Then the Quran was revealed, and they learned it from the Quran, and they learned it from my practice. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, look, This is what we are in possession of. This is what this is. It is this. Allah created the human being and He put in them a special nature. Amenna is what's in the report. Translator says trust. The inward trust. Inmost trust. Integrity. And then He revealed it. Allah revealed it in the Quran, and they learned it from the Quran, and they learned it from my practice. Okay? So then, this goes back to what we're saying in terms of what is it that Al-Islam is? Because we say, and we mean it, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. My object is to make us more conscious of what we're saying. When we say we're Muslims. We say we're Muslims. So what does that mean? Active participle form of that word that gives us also Al-Islam. I practice Al-Islam. That's what we're saying. When we say I'm a Muslim, I practice Al-Islam. Okay, question. Do you know what Al-Islam is? Yeah, I know Al-Islam is 5 pillars and 6 beliefs and da da da. Okay, that's the structure. But what is it? That's what you do. That's what you practice. But what is its nature? Al-Islam is the revealed nature of our humanity in the form of a book. That Allah put in our nature when He created us. We have, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we have lived to be in that space. This is why Imam Muhammad, I'm talking about historic space, time, right? Where Imam Muhammad said, this is the day of Muhammad. This is the day of Prophet Muhammad. Oh, but he was 1400. This is the day of Prophet Muhammad. Brother and sister, do you understand that the world that we live in, right? I'm not talking about the political world that's occupied by crazy kind of ideology, philosophy, blah, blah, blah. I ain't talking about that world. That world is just passing through. I'm talking about the best of life for humanity that we enjoy today would not be possible without there having been a Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The claim that America has to be on the top of the moral mountain of the world, it didn't come from Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson had Quran. Europe would never have become what Europe became as a power without the Renaissance. And the Renaissance would not have been possible without Muhammad. You and I in the West, we would never know the word Socrates. We never know the word Plato. We never know the word, where the other guy is. There's a third one. I'm getting flooded a little bit here. But it's good juices, though. It's good juices. Starts with an A. What's that guy's name? There you go. See, I know I have smart people out here. Yeah. Usually when I'm not flooded, I'm not really flooded. I'm joking with you right now. I use the SPCA. Socrates, Plato, I leave out the C, then I get Aristotle. It's just a memory device, right? Not saying they're animals or anything. Either way, still saying you need to be kind toward them. But let's finish up. That is that the day of Muhammad, everything that's great about this world, even if you just use the mathematics, algorithm, al-Khwarizmi, algebra, al-Jibr. Who knows? Muslims. Do we get them without Muhammad? No. So all the most excellent things in this world, we owe it to Allah by the grace of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah revealed the nature. Allah revealed the nature of our humanity in the Holy Quran. So Al-Islam is the human nature in literal form. I want to show you this. I want to hold it up so you can see it. That's funny. You can't deny that's funny. It's good. If you missed it, somebody will tell you later. Okay. This is the Quran. This is a Quran, right? This is your human nature in the form of a book. If you ever become inhuman, you can upload and install this and it will rehumanize you. You ever had to uninstall an application? Man, the damn thing ain't working no more. They say, okay, well, uninstall it and download it and install a new one. Hello? And this is not just to come back to excuse my language, the guy or the girl that you were before you needed to do that. This is to become what God created you when he first created you. The original factory settings. Who is the original man? Somebody know why that's an important question. The original man is Adam. How you get back to Adam? You got to get back to nature. How do I get back to nature? The Quran and Muhammad take you back to nature. But you have to upload and install the application. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسيع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine graces. We thank you for your blessings on us. We thank you for the life that you have blessed us with. Oh Allah, we pray that you would bless us to be sincere, to bless us to be conscious of your graces. Bless us to seek always to hear what you are communicating to us. Bless us to learn and understand what you have revealed and what you are revealing. Oh Allah, help us to be true to that original nature. Oh Allah, remove from us the stains that this world has put on us. Oh Allah, remove from us the weaknesses that this world has engendered in us. Oh Allah, remove from us the excuses that we make for not obeying, the excuses that we make for not studying, the excuses that we make for not striving, the excuses that we make for not being persevering towards what you have offered us, because we know that there is nothing that this world promises to us that comes near to what you have promised to us in this world and the life that comes hereafter. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Thank you.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله دي برنسيسد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله thank you for joining us this morning for Universal Dimension Leadership الحمد لله we just aired yesterday's recording of Jumu'ah Masjid Al-Wa'athin and it was the 11th part of Taqwa and the Game of Life and as always on Saturdays we follow up, extend, underscore, amplify, punctuate aspects from that Jumu'ah, but not before hearing from you who have comments that you'd like to bring before we get started with the new material for the day. So please, blog talk, push one on your phone if you have comments that you'd like to bring, and also on YouTube, Facebook, et cetera. At this time, I can see comments, and inshallah, we'll load them up and respond to them according to their fitness for what we're speaking of. Alhamdulillah. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. You, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and your very astute listeners. This is Mark Shahi from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. Start off by asking a question that is such a beautiful prelude to today's commentary that you'll be making. Who's the artist for this song, Brother Imam?
Oh, that's Hijra. That's Hanuna Farid. She's one of the soloists on Hijra. So all that's a part of the Hijra time or even I think the Hijra album. They did two. They did two albums. But I think that I know that that's one of them, but I can't tell you which one it was on.
Okay.
Hanuna
Farid. Yes, that's a beautiful voice and beautiful lyrics. The words so meaningful and all. So yes, yeah. Just briefly say that so many things are said, wonderful things are said in this khutbah. One of the things that really just stood out for me is that. We have to be who we say that we are. The content has to fit the label. The content has to fit the label. You know, we can't just say that we're Muslim or that we're Mu'min. You know, as the Imam has said to us before, that, you know, in definition is direction. And I also would say that also correction. So we just can't just claim to be this. There's a certain direction, this correction that we have to make in our life if we say that we're Muslim or Mu'min. Just want to share that. This really just resonated in my mind, you know. And, so, and also, Brother Imam, if it's okay with you, let me take a minute to let radio listening audience know that inshallah come this Thursday which will be December December the 4th
the
I think it is
the 4th?
Second, yeah okay. I'm off I don't know but it'll be this cover well it would be the 2nd no you're absolutely right it'll be the 2nd yeah December the 2nd that you will be on the production that Quran Shakir and I have on IWDM Radio. That'll be December 2nd, and it'll be on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and you'll be making commentary on the outstanding publication by our sister Akila Nafisa Rashid on the Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet, and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. And Ripple is a unique publication. She uses the word Ripple as an acronym to define principles in making that, having that Muslim marriage makeover. And so you'll be coming on the first P in Ripple, which is partnership, and any commentary that you'd like to make on that. So that'll happen December the 2nd, inshallah. And the call-in number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. And if you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it'll be 7 p.m. your time. Central Standard Time Zone, it'll be 6 p.m. And if you live on the West Coast, there where Imam Fahim Shuaib resides, it would be 4 p.m. your time. IWDM Radio, and we do invite the listeners to tune in and listen in. Press 1 should be an interesting conversation on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That's this Thursday, December the 2nd. Thank you so much, Brother Imam. I appreciate
you
and all that you do. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Abdul Shaheed says, an observation, Imam W.D. Muhammad was very intelligent. I can see how he gave to and encouraged each one of you that were students to his teaching. Alhamdulillah. That's very important observation. I, in my own experience of him, recognize that. I've actually used the analogy Johnny Appleseed, which is one of the fables from the West. Johnny Appleseed. You kind of just throwing seeds out all over the place. Well, but the Imam, he had the blessed insight to be able to encounter, interact, experience a person and point to their highest best use and cultivate their highest best use, provoke, evoke, stimulate, motivate that person to that Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayhi perceived as the best of that individual. And so, you know, in common parlance, you know, we talk about strong suits. So the Imam actually encouraged everyone that he encountered to strive in and toward their strong suit. So that's really, I believe, one of the reasons why you have really such strong, dynamic, you know, persons and personalities in different areas, because the Imam really got into their heart, their spirit, their mind, a perception of themselves that no one who got it will or desires to turn it loose. It's like, okay, well, then that's what I'm going to be. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to focus on until I die. That's what the Imam, that's what Imam Muhammad produced. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Excellent observation. Imam Nazim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Imam and the listening audience, just kind of want to echo what Brother Mark said in different language, but first and foremost, you know, I've been away for a couple of weeks, and I realized how much I was missing when I tuned back in and got some of it. It was like, okay, this is what keeps me here every Saturday. Alhamdulillah, you know. But, you know, I did see something that, like you said, clearer, you know, when you were talking about the blood. But it wasn't the blood. It was the duality that is so prevalent. Mm-hmm. And I guess the Quran says it even better than that. The noble pairs that are there, the pairing, and how you showed the personification that knowledge can be a friend. You know,
yeah.
And to not have it, you're going to fall victim to those who may appear to be friends, but then they're weak friends or they're undeveloped friends, and they can lead you astray, you know, without you even knowing it, because you have embraced them, let your guard down, expose yourself, and your innocence and naivety can cause you to be, can be an enemy to you because you befriended someone who is not a good friend, who appeared to be a good friend, but not a good friend. And the language that Brother Mark used, and it's a little different from the language that I'm going to use, you haven't realized or you don't know that you don't know that you have become a Muslim in name only. The Shahada chain does not cover all of that. You got to get the other pair to go with that so that you can do what you need to do. And now you can say, I'm on the path. I'm Muslim. Yeah. I got the nature. I can deal with the problems that the world throws at me because that's man's world, but I've been introduced to God's world. And I'll stop right there. I mean, it's just, it's so simple to say. But once you realize it and you begin to apply it, then you see the strength in it because you're using it.
Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Let me tell you what Muhammad Abdullah, known to be Master Farab Muhammad, told me here in Oakland. He said, a foolish friend is worse than a wise enemy. And that's wisdom right there.
It is. Yeah.
So, alhamdulillah. So, is that what is that? Well, there is a saying, kind of, I guess, just because it's in the conversation, right, where it says, choose your enemies, right? Be wise about the choice of friends, but be wise about the choice of enemies, or something on that order. But the idea is, of course, the big deal is having good friends.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, my good friend. We'll talk at another time. As-salamu
alaykum. Absolutely. Alaykum as-salamu alaykum.
All right. All right, alhamdulillah. So we're going to move on down the road. Alhamdulillah. So I'm not seeing the studio, so I'm not ignoring you if you happen to push one. Perhaps there may be a chance before we go out. Or in the broadcast, if you have other comments also, likewise on the Facebook, YouTube side of it, we're also not looking at the studio. We're going to now share some information, written information, so you can sort of follow along if need be. So Blog Talk, no worry, I'll be giving the words. But if you can get to the visuals on Facebook and YouTube, that'll be useful too. So usually we have these devices that enable us to do both. But to begin, this is a follow-up on friendship with good people is half of wisdom, which we know is the second of three things mentioned in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that serves as the foundation for the most recent portion of taqwa and the game of life, to which this is 11A as the part. Friday was 11, so this is a supplement to it. And the main thing that we want to emphasize today is this is just the starting of the idea, just to stimulate or prime your thoughts for this. This is nowhere near the completion of this idea. I have to say that because when I started preparing it this morning, it's like, man, it's just 1, 2, 3 questions, and so much opened up. And this is no boast. The process. It just happens. When I say it just happens, just mechanically. The hadith itself. The third part is the intelligent question is half of knowledge. The intelligent question is half of knowledge. So you get the intelligent question. You ask the right question, and then doors open up into spaces of knowledge that said, man, it's going to be a long time this takes to cover that. That's not a complaint. It's just the reality. Okay, so enough, editorial aspects of it, but I do want to let you know that do not feel that this subject is complete when we, not even from me, less known to speak about what can be said about it. Enough of that. Let's go. Al-Islam's invitation to form friendships with good people is an invitation to form the most powerful network in the world. See, now, statements like that can be seen as hyperbolic, right? Hyperbole. Hyperbole is that I'm so hungry I can eat a horse, right? That's hyperbole. You ain't gonna eat no horse. Right, but we get it though. We get it. So, but that's hyperbole. This is not hyperbole. And that's what I intend to speak more to this morning. I'll say it again. Al-Islam's invitation to form friendships with good people is an invitation to form the most powerful network in the world. And in your own world, that network that gets formed of good people, it will be powerful for you and for your friends and where you are. However, if Muslims would do as Allah has invited us globally, doing that, get beyond our own tribalism, that's a very rich area that has to be studied too. It has been, but we need to bring it more into our own personal comprehension, because there's a natural element to it. But then, just like we talked about the duality, we talked about the pairs just now, the Imam just mentioned, the idea is understanding the khair and the shar of it. There's khair for a tribe and there's shar for a tribe. All right. But the tribe is also a network. Okay. And so Al-Islam's invitation to form friendships with good people is an invitation to form the most powerful network in the world. The Quran 3:200, Surah Ali Imran. It is, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا والصابروا ورابطوا وتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of it, O you who believe. Persevere in patience, persevere in patience, persevere, have sabr, and compete with each other in that perseverance. Compete with each other in that perseverance. And strengthening, it says, warabitu. So rabitu is saying, when we say ta al-marabuta, ta al-marbuta, we call it the tied ta, right? Ta al-marbuta, same root for this word. Rabitu, rabitu. So the translator, Yusuf Ali, he translates it, strengthen each other, tie together. But now, based on what we know, when I say what knowledge available to us, let's form a network for the coming. See, if the language of today is a network. And here's a very important thing for us to understand, and this is a very important thing for us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us being born in this time, the day of Muhammad, which we mentioned, and we reminded, and I remind now, that the great benefits and great blessings of information technology and digital technology and data and metadata and data compression and information and artificial intelligence and all those kinds of things, without Muhammad, without Al-Islam, without the Quran, none of that. Right. Muslims are supposed to be ahead on everything. Wallahi, a Muslim is not an ethnic group. So it's not like, it doesn't mean blacks. I was a bit loved black. I hate that. But, you know, for us, Bilalians, you know. So, no, it's not for Bilalians. It's not for Arabs. It's not for Pakistanis. It's not ethnic at all. Muslim is not ethnic. Muslims are human beings, right? So when we say that, be clear on that. We should be, why should we be ahead? Because the door through which these great benefits and blessings of technology, information, science, etc., those doors, and you can, again, there's little things I got to put in the marginal notes. Ulul albab. When you understand that, you're talking about the owners of the first doors. So that really short version, people who understand the nature of a thing. The owner of the first door means that the first door, the first knowledge, the origin, the original place that knowledge comes into the world, ulul albab, They are owners of the first. They understand the nature of whatever it is there, whatever is being described, right? And Bab's book, Semitic language in Bab's book, Ulul al-Bab, and the Quran tells us that it is in the mother of the book. It is in the mother of the book. So the universe is a book. And so much to say about that. The universe is an information system. And you can get to the mechanics of that. You come to understand, yeah, the universe is an information system. Right? So it's all the ulul albab are the people who understand the nature of that information system in particular areas. Right? Iqbal, when we went through discussing the reconstruction of religious thought, he stated that the laws of nature are the garments of reality. So there's something behind that. So if you take the laws of nature as garments, then now analogically taking now as doors, right? The laws of nature are the laws of nature are the doors to reality. You can see a coat opening like a door, can't you? Can't you see? Closed, open. Maybe that's why they call it closed, right? That's Imam. That's Imam Muhammad. Closed. You don't say clothes. Nobody does that. Everybody says clothes. Put on some clothes, right? B-L-O-S-E, right? B-L-O-T-H-E-S, right? Why? It's the garments of nature. Clothes, open. And mashallah. Come on, let's just take a ride together, you know. Have you ever taken a detour anywhere? let's see if we can find it. Since we got there. Let's see. I'm doing this live. Yes, alhamdulillah. Let me see, I'll do a new share. So I'm going to take this out. I have to bring in another one. Let's see. So just thinking about that ulul albab, the door, and all of that, and wanting to confirm what we're saying, like the book, the door, the universe as a system of information, and ulul albab being the people, owners of the first door, meaning that when something comes in, they are at the place when information from the universe itself comes into three-dimensional space, let's call it, they are the ones who are there. They are there because their mind has taken them there. They're there because their heart, their mind, their spirit has taken them to a place where does this knowledge originate? Where does this knowledge originate? And when they reach those limits, these are the types that get the Nobel Prize. Right, they get the Nobel Prize. We know the history of all the racism and blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's move on. Okay, the idea is that they are owners of the first door. They were there. They uncovered, right? Discovered. They extended the knowledge of the world in that arena, and so therefore they get the prize. Okay. Ulul albab, and I'm talking about doors, I'm talking about information, and then naturally Al-Fatiha comes to mind. Al-Fatiha comes to mind because it's opening. We talked about close, and then we see close, C-L-O-T-H-E-S, and then close, C-L-O-S-E, Then you got to ask the question. Intelligent question is half of knowledge. The question, what is the relationship between clothes and clothes? Because the Imam, Rahimullah alayhi, listen, this is madhab. You want to understand the Imam Muhammad's school of thought, Imam Muhammad's methodology. You're listening to it. Allahu alam, a part of it, okay? And a part of it is understanding what's going on with words, right? But you have to ask the question. But the Imam has given us the key. That's why I call him the key maker from that matrix series. He gave us the key. He made the keys. And so when the Imam says, for every homonym, there's a synonym. For every homonym, there's a synonym. If the words sound alike, then they're tied to a common meaning somewhere in the sphere of knowledge, right? And so here's an example. Clothes and clothes. Garment of reality, nature, the laws of nature, garment of reality. What is that? Garment of reality is clothes. Nature, the laws of nature are what? Closed. But they are closed to you until you are able to have the key, Al-Fatiha, to open it up. But Al-Fatiha itself, this hadith, speaks to what we're speaking to here. It's narrated by Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, said when Jibreel was with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard a sound from above like a door opening. So this makes the Prophet Ud al-Albab for Al-Fatiha, right? For, of course we know, the Quran, but here's, I want you to understand, who's at the door? Who's the first one at the door? The first one at the door. So there, it says, the sound from above like a door opening. Jibreel, peace be upon him, said, upon him, he looked up toward the sky and said, this is a gate or door in heaven that has been opened, but it was never opened before. He said, Jibreel, an angel came down from it and came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, receive the glad tidings of two lights that have been given to you and were never given to prophets before you. The opening of the book, Al-Fatiha, and the last verses of Surat al-Bark, Surat al-Baqarah, pardon me. That's Surah 2, the last verses. You will never recite a single letter of them, but you will be granted it. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. So, for whatever reason, we did that. So that's my experience is, well, follow the truth, and is it information that people may not have, then share it. That's it. So now let's go back to the original ideas about networks. And we'll do that by going here. All right, great. So opening statements. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says warabitu, when he says warabitu, he's saying create networks. Create networks. Okay? And so this idea, there are other words that are staying with warabitu. وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Man. وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ. Study taqwa, brothers and sisters, study taqwa. And I know that out of the 11 plus times that we've been addressing under the title taqwa and the game of life, we have yet to really drill down on taqwa. But I'm always saying something about it, so you should be gathering pieces as we go. To say taqwa is this, taqwa is that, significant taqwa is this, taqwa is that, alhamdulillah, that's it. But there is, inshallah, we'll get to the point where, okay, it's all about the taqwa. I think we're really, really close there. But the idea is we need to, I say, you know, finish out this hadith in conjunction with the game of life, because if you just practice these three things, and all I brought this for was just, here's an example hadith. That's how we started down this road. His example hadith, which it's an abstraction, truth without details, low definition, but if you unpack it, you will go far in your life with just this one. Moderation and economy is moderation and expenditure is half of economy. Friendship with good people is half of wisdom. Intelligent question is half of knowledge. That's just one report. But if you unpack it as concentrated, and I have to tell you, speaking of knowledge of today, there's this statement, data compression. That's language in technology, right? That's language in technology. Data compression means that you are able to put a lot until, compact discs, right? Compact discs, CDs, right? CDs, what is that? Data compression, right? I mean, a whole lot of information packed into this particular medium, which is CDs, right? Which are now, you know, fundamentally obsolete for as far as information storage is concerned. But it's data compression. It's compressed data, a lot of information in a very small place. Okay, well, these abstractions, these hadith from the Prophet and these verses from the Quran, data compression, great fields of knowledge in very small spaces, in words. I'm talking about single word, taqwa, one word. So much knowledge in there. But let's get on with it. Okay, so wataqullah. Allah said, wataqullah la'alakum tuflihun. God is saying, man, this is me, you know how I talk. If you would just have the consciousness that, speaking from Allah's perspective, quote unquote, as though Allah is saying, if you would just have the consciousness in you, if you would just be conscious in the way that I created you to be conscious, you will be successful. That's what he's saying. وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That's what he's saying. If you would just be conscious in the way, as the Imam says, regardful. If you would just be regardful in the manner that I would have you be regardful, that I created you to be regardful. See, this is how Adam and his wife, they slipped because their garment of taqwa was stripped off from them. And that's where the failing comes in. The failing comes in the loss of taqwa. But we need to really know what that taqwa is, because that taqwa, which was just mentioned, you're being conscious. You need to be able, you got to look to the right, look to the left, look from before, look from behind, and see what is trying to get at you. That is not good. Okay? And so Rabitu. So Rabitu is form connection. Now, I also want to underscore the great blessing of being born in this time, which is the day of Muhammad. This is post-Renaissance. This is in the outside and beyond even the Alvin Toffler paradigm of agriculture, industrial information. We're in the fourth dimension now, let's just call it. And the great blessing for a Muslim, and the reason that Muslims should be ahead of the game, is because the game, as it is from a technological, scientific point of view, the Muslims were the ones who started the game, really. The rest of the world was in the Dark Ages, in the medieval period, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran, which is in the mother of the book, to the Ummi prophet. In a quote unquote otherwise desolate area of the world, ignored, in sometimes language backwater, right? And then the flowering and the blossoming and the growth and the development and the innovations and the rebirth that has taken place around the world by virtue of the growth and the spread, the presence of Al-Islam in the world. Now we live in the apex period of man's technological advancement, and at a time where the ethical, moral, spiritual, rational strength is needed now more than ever, and it is more valued now more than ever. When I say that, meaning that what's going to save you from what the world is being drowned by is a body of knowledge, an ark or a boat, a vehicle that separates you from the sentiments and sensitivities that are ruling the world. You're not drowning in the flood of this same technology being put to wrong uses. You're in it, but you're not of it. Okay? That's where the Muslim should be. And that's where the Muslim believers are, for sure. MashaAllah. So the beauty, a part of the beauty of the time of being alive and conscious in such a time, with it's a dual condition which always exists. You have the height of khair and you have the height of shar in the world right now. The height of khair and the height of shar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The Quran is Al-Furqan. It is Al-Furqan. It is the criteria for judging between what's right and what's wrong, what's khair and what's shar. And Allah tells us, فَاسْتَبِكُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. You strive after what is excellent. So you better pay attention. That's taqwa. Pay attention to everything that glitters and gold, right? So, but taqwa is what enables us to do that. Now, So also I want to say is that there's so much technology, and this is what we are seeking to talk about. There's so much technological advancement, and there's also technological language. Indeed, it's language itself that has fostered these developments. It's on the vehicle and through the vehicle of language that the flowering and the blossoming and the flourishing of civilization is possible. It's only through that. Take away language, you take away everything. That's that. All right? Language has power. And the most powerful language is with those who have the most power. That's why there are those who, when they come up with powerful knowledge, they seek to hide it, but communicate it. So how do they hide and communicate it? They have their own secret language. But that language is in the public, but if you don't know how to decode and you don't know the logic of it, it is simple. And when I say simple, we talk about language, logic, sensitivity. I've done this a million, not a million times. That's hyperbolic. I've done this a lot of times. Language, logic, sensitivity, right? Language is whatever the words are. Logic is the behavioral expectation. Okay, since this means this, what should I do, right? So what you should do, whatever you decide, whatever's decided, whatever the meaning dictates is telling you that that's its logic. Right? Words mean what they make you do. So once you, it doesn't matter. Somebody can say the words, but if you take a meaning from it that's other than the one that's intended to produce the result that you want, for example, freedom, right? Well, it doesn't matter. It's freedom. So somebody says freedom. So what's freedom? Freedom to drink alcohol. I'm free. I can drink alcohol. Yeah, you can. So free? Freedom, my freedom includes Jesus. So your definition of freedom, which includes that, there's a toxic element to that word for you because of the way that, of what you're saying, that it means that I can do that. Somebody else, to someone else, freedom means something else. Freedom. Free your head, right? Free your head. So alcohol is going to khamar, is going to cover up your intelligence. So that's not freedom. In somebody's language system, that's not the freedom. That's not what freedom is actually talking about. But in your world, that's what freedom means to you. Your freedom includes that. You don't know. My freedom is different than that. So same word, different language, different logic, different sensitivities, right? So just snap right quick to the idea that when you have the words from Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Quran is the words from the creator of the heavens and the earth. He nurtured that language in the earth among the people, and then he put his ideas, Allah, he put his ideas in that language system, right? And his meanings are in that language system. And so if you can read that and abstract and draw out the meaning, that's there, not there's eisegesis, meaning reading stuff in. Exegesis is pulling out what's in it, right? So you don't want to iso, you don't want to put stuff in, you want to exo, you want to bring it out. So that means that you have to take what God said and don't add anything to it. What did he say? And then pull out the richness. And now it's time for the logic, right? And there, since it means that, as the Quran 39:18 says, the believers are those who seek to hear the word and follow the best meaning in it. Okay, so you pull the meaning out. Okay, now you're looking at the meaning. It means, okay, next step. What's the logic? What do you mean, logic? How are you supposed to behave in the light of that meaning? If it means that, what are you supposed to do, right? And once you understand what you're supposed to do, now you have the logic of it, right? This is the fleshing out of this formula that's in the Quran where it says, Ya'lu alayhim ayati, is repeated about how Allah, since Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummi messenger, right? The one who's still in the mother nature, right? Who's from the mother nature, right? Ummi. Ya'lu alayhim ayatihi, who's modeling for them how to follow the ayat of Allah. I mean, how valuable is that? Everything is an ayat. Everything, the universe is an information system. So the universe is emitting information constantly, nonstop. وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ, and Allah is always teaching us. But we need a teacher, and that's what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been sent as a teacher. We need a teacher to teach us how to read, اِقْرَى بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ, read the signs of Allah and follow its logic. يَعْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ أَيَّاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, telling us, first you have to be purified. Right? Doesn't mean you have to be a saint in that language. No. It just means you have to be sincere. You have to be sincere. To who? Again, the reports of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Ad-dina nasiha, religion is sincerity. Sincere to who? To Allah, to his messenger, to his book, to the leaders of the people, and to the common folks. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The religion, ad-din as-sami', the religion is simple. I don't, you know, you got to ask yourself, who complicates me? And a part of what complicates our way of life is, part of what complicates is people reading in and not reading out. They have an agenda, and they lay their agenda on top of what is actually being said in the Quran. Like Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, The best treatment of that I read was from Khalid Abu al-Fadl, I believe is the name, the authoritative and the authoritarian in Islamic discourse. The authoritative and the authoritarian in Islamic discourse. Should read that. I won't go through the analogy for that. Let's move on to Warabitu. Let's go on, because I want us to get a little more into the network. Because when you form friendships with good people, you're forming a network. Now let's look at the science. And here's the point that I'm keep dancing around a little bit. It's the idea that the sciences of today, Muslims would just get the sciences that are out there and that people are making millions and billions and trillions, yes, trillions of dollars utilizing. If Muslims don't chase what other people are chasing, but use the technology in their interest. This is something that you've heard. I think I'll just abbreviate it and take my time. The idea is that Dr. Abdul Hamid Abu Suleiman, in his publication, he says the mistake that Muslims made back in the day was that they failed to recognize the impact of the new technology, the impact that it was going to have on the institutions and the families, et cetera, and they failed to recognize how they could use the new knowledge harnessed to the overall goals and objectives and values of al-Islam. This is what sometimes we sleep on. And a part of it is the distortion, is a product of the distortion, even of the simple word innovation, the simple word innovation. That word bid'ah, but as it got distorted in the minds as time went on to individuals that don't innovate, like all innovations. So if you had logic, then you would make the separation between the idea of the universal, and the universal and the particular, right? The affirmative and the negative, right? When you understand that, anybody who's interested, you know, this is just one way of logic, one tool of logic, the square of opposition, the square of opposition. Spend some time with that and you get some idea. Because the point is that people make the mistake of saying all innovation. Well, that makes it a universal negative that all innovation is to be avoided, right? So what happened? Literally, there's a publication, I believe it's called the Lever of Riches, L-E-V-E-R, Lever of Riches, and pointed out how much Muslims were advancing technologically and otherwise. But then suddenly in the 13th century, BCE, CE, Common Era, they stopped innovating, and then they fell off, right? Why? Language. So somebody, language, logic, sensitivity. You get the wrong language, you're going to have the wrong logic, you're going to have the wrong sensitivity, and you're going to go in the wrong direction. That's what happened to the Muslim world. So I'm saying this is why Muslims should be ahead of all games. Ahead of all games, all good games, let's put it that way. Why? Because we have the best. We have the best language. And the best language is Allah's word in the Quran. So therefore, we're going to have, if we're guided to the best meaning, but none shall touch it but the purified. This is why I use that key hymn. So you have to be purified first, sincere to Allah, sincere to His will, sincere to His purpose, sincere to His plan. MashaAllah, and practicing al-Islam all the way around, right? Everybody has shortcomings. Nobody is perfect. Everybody's failing. So don't think that means that you have to be perfect. The only thing that you can perfect is your intention. That's it. You can't perfect your behavior. You can only perfect your intention, but you're to always strive for perfection. What is ahsan? Huh? What is ahsan? It's to behave as though you are seeing Allah. But even though you'll never attain that level of seeing, know that he's seeing you. So what? You're always trying to get better. Never does a believer endeavor a thing, but they seek to perfect it, right? So we're always working for it. Allah hasn't ordered us to find the truth. He's ordered us to seek the truth. All right. So let's focus real quick on this. Let's finish this. Use that key in purifying it. وَيُعَلِمُهُمَ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُعَلِمُهُمَ الْكِتَابُ. Teaching them the book, that's the letter, that's the language, that's the garment, right? And the wisdom, that's the logic, right? The wisdom, hikmah, is the logic, the logic, the knowledge for guiding your everyday life. That's what the hikmah is, okay? Okay, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to warabitu, he's telling us to form networks. He's telling us to form networks. Network is the modern technological parlance for the tool that is used, in order to strengthen progress for the individuals in the network, right? And it is also, it has been identified as a law of nature. And the label given to it is Metcalfe's law, M-E-T-C-A-L-F-E. Metcalfe's law states that the value of a network is proportional to the square of the number of participants in the network, right? It's a law, as described, and it's called the network effect, right? So while the Quran says warabitu, bring it into the technological language that is here, or applying it to, it applies in every other place for humanity too. We're talking about it from a social perspective and an economic perspective even. But it applies in all four birds, okay? So this Metcalfe's law, or this network effect, so to translate and find its equivalence in the world right now is to be able to take advantage of, we said, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who have faith and do the right thing. That's a statement about take your faith and apply it technically. Take your faith and do the right thing, right? The more you know, the more knowledge that guides your behavior, then the more what you're going to do is right. So Metcalfe's law, or the network effect, is what we're saying when we make the statement that Al-Islam's invitation to form friendships with good people is an invitation to form the most powerful network in the world. That is, when we do that amongst ourselves, the network effect or Metcalfe's law will take place on our behalf and through us. That is, we will form a network that will not be overcome by other networks, because of the nature and the source, the substance of our network is from our relationship with the creator of the heavens and the earth and what he sends through that network. That's what we're talking about. In business, the network effect is a phenomenon whereby increased numbers of people or participants improve the value of a good or service. The internet is an example of the network effect. Furthermore, as more users gained access to the internet, they produced more content, information, and services. So that's that. So the internet, which is very directly, I mean, network, it's a network, but it's only one thing. But it's a prime example of the force of utilization. So first there was the internet. Who knew about it? What is the internet? Blah, blah, blah. Then as more people came to know about it, as more people connected with it, the stronger it became. And so, mashallah, do you see a world where the internet no longer exists? Do you see a world where the internet no longer exists? I don't know what you're looking at if you see that. Yeah. So that's important. So we have just a few minutes. I'm just something real, inshallah. I don't know. It might be quick, may not be quick. Amazon has the dominant network effect for merchandise. Google has the dominant network effect for search engines. Facebook or Meta, and there's some devilish stuff going on there. You might feel like you know, but take a look at that commercial for Meta. Take a look at that commercial and spend a minute and ask yourself, what's going on in there? Right? And take a look on the back of that water buffalo and see if you can make something out of there. I don't know. Maybe. Inshallah, we make it to it. In any case, so Facebook is, or Meta, if I want to be a rebel here, no, it's Facebook, right? Facebook has the dominant network effect for social networking, and Bitcoin, that's short, BTC, has the dominant network effect for monetary energy. On our Monday broadcast, we've gone over this on other occasions. I'm not going to take the time in the limited time we have right now to try to detail it. But the point is that all of these are networks. There was a time when there was no Amazon network. But then as more people joined, the network became stronger. And now it has reached that tipping point where I don't know if we will ever see a time when there is no Amazon, right? Unless it's Amazon becoming something else, like Facebook became Meta, right? Google, the same for as far as search engines or everything that artificial intelligence does and all the rest of that. All right, and Facebook, we just talked about, and BTC for as far as monetary energy. So I'm not going to spend time there, but I'm telling you, like right now, Bitcoin is like 55,000. Yeah, it's going as high as 69,000, and of course, its history is, you know, seems like a deep, deep past. What, 2013, it might have been some, yeah, $400, $1,000, something like that. But, and this is just a past. So it's like when I'm looking at $54,000, $55,000 Bitcoin, it's sort of like, really, if you've been thinking about getting to it, it's like there's no time like the present because it's down. But, $15,000 off of his most recent high. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah, well, I won't get it. Here's what I was going to say. I don't know what you're waiting for, but you could be waiting for a lot of things. So I'll leave that alone. But now, let's look at this water arbitrage and the network that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us to form there in 3200. And I'm saying what Allah reveals in the Quran and what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has been given something like it, what he gives us in his reports are of the highest minds and the highest technologies in the world today by their exerting themselves over years and time and, you know, with technology and computing power and all that. And research and archaeology and sociology and research and meta-research, and they said, we have come to the conclusion that X, Y, Z, Z, Y, X. And in the Muslim, mashallah, when we can read in both worlds, we can say, oh, yeah, we already got that over here. Not to deny what they have, alhamdulillah, Allah feeds from the sky and from the earth. So when you come with it, come to it inductively, data plus data, boom, conclusion. And then you share your conclusion. Hey, look what we found. You share your conclusion and we go to crush. Yeah, you're right. You got it. It's right here in the Quran from Muhammad 1,400 years ago. It's right here in the Hadith from the Ummi, the unlettered prophet. He gave it to us right there. That's where we are. So I'm not going to take the time to go to the other. I'll leave it there. Anybody want to take a screenshot of this red and yellow piece right there and read it through? This is a piece from a part of a quote from John Verbecki, a long series that's on YouTube, Awakening from the Meaning Crisis. And that quote is support information for the power of Ummah and Shura. All you have to do is just change the words, change culture to Ummah. Change culture. When Allah tells us, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ Ummah, this is what Allah is telling us to form. And he's just describing what happens in normal states of human society, human evolution, and that has taken place over the millennia of transformation and growth in the life of human beings. These are their conclusions, right? I guess I may as well read it. Language communicates to the mind. It facilitates the mind. It conveys the mind. Culture networked people together. Distributed cognition, groups of people working, distributed cognition, which is groups of people working in concert with each other. That's language. Distributed cognition is groups of people working in concert together. Most of our problem solving is done collectively with distributed cognition. Now you should hear Shura in this. Shura is technology. When we do it, illalladina amanu wa amilus salihat, when we do it the way that Allah has ordered it to be done, when you operate the vehicle, when you run the machine correctly, the outcome that Allah has promised from such operation is guaranteed. They have their language for it, and they're saying distributed cognition. So what is shura? Shura is also distributed cognition. Culture is also a network that's formed by people who share values, etc. Continue to read. It takes distributed cognition to put on a conference. It takes distributed cognition to do science. Distributed cognition to run a university. Distributed cognition to run an airline. Culture is central to cognition. Huh? Because most important thought is done culturally. You hear this language about culture vultures, right? The point is for us as Muslims, it's like if we would just do what Allah tells us to do. I'm going to end just by reading this. Go back to this verse. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I'm saying it in utter humility. I'm just saying it's like, We got it, brothers and sisters, but we got to be it. We got to do it. We have to execute. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu isbiru wasabiru warabitu wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. So God is saying, if you give due regard to what I'm telling you to do, form a network, you will be cultivated to success. That's the promise. But do you believe it? That's the key. All right, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah. That's going to be it for today. No comments. We're going to keep on moving. God's peace be on you, inshallah. Perhaps you'll be with us tomorrow on Quran Tilawat Institute. And we'll both know what the subject is then. Thank you for joining us. God's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Thank you, Jada. And Belia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.